Terry Savage Day, 312-981-7200. Call or text with your questions now. I suppose we should start today, Terry, just talking a little bit about your recent column. It's a long post about long-term care, right?
Oh, yes, it's about long-term care insurance, and I know most people don't want to think about that, but the fact is we're all going to get older, we hope, and it can be costly. And whether you're, I particularly wanted to direct this to women who are alone, because long-term care insurance policies not only assure you a good place and good care, but also have resources to help you organize that care. But even women who are married, you know, we live longer, and typically it's a spouse who needs the care first, and that uses up the family's resources. People are just don't understand that there is no provision for long-term custodial care in Medicare. Even your supplement, it covers a few days of intensive care in a skilled nursing facility after you've been in a hospital, but not the kind of care that helps you while you stay at home. And yeah, if you use up all your money, you could be forced into a state-funded, Medicaid-funded nursing facility. I just, with all due respect for the people who work there, that's not where you want to spend your last days. Thus, a column on new ways to pay for long-term care insurance.
You know, we've had this conversation before, and some people think that if you have sufficient funds, you should not be buying that insurance now. Save the money, invest the money, and have the money in pocket rather than insurance down the road.
I'm glad you brought that up. What you're buying with this is peace of mind. You have no idea how the costs of long-term care are growing faster than inflation, and inflation is going pretty quickly, and what the cost of an extended need for long-term care is. Now, you know, most people don't need the insurance for that long a period, but if you think Alzheimer's or dementia, you understand that this could be a 3 or 4 or 5 year period at that point, over a couple $100,000 a year if there's no one else at home to take care of you. And yeah, it's just a bet. The question is, do you want to make that bet? The nicest thing is that the newest policies are not the old-fashioned use it or lose it policies, pay the premiums and tough if you die without using it. These are combination policies, so that that money that you spend can be replaced, because if you don't use it for long-term care, or a portion of it anyway, there's a death benefit. So it's a combo, life and long-term care. And it's typically funded with either one lump sum payment or maybe a fixed payment for every 10 years. That does away with the concern that if you buy it now, down the road, the premiums could go up. You get locked in at your purchase time now. It creates a big reward if you need the care, because the best policies have inflation adjustments also. So it's something to look at. I don't want to get into all the details, but my favorite long-term care people are right here in the suburbs. It's Brian Gordon at Murray Gordon Associates. And I'll give him a commercial because I just think this is so important. You don't have to use my name, but I have two policies that I bought long ago. And so I put my money where my mouth is. Brian Gordon at 800-533-6242. And that number, I know you're driving, so you can't write it down, but there's a column called Long-Term Care Insurance Update right at the top of terrysavage.com. You'll find that detail.
One last thing before we take a break. Long-term care. Are we talking about residing for years, maybe even decades, in a senior living complex, or are we talking about some sort of medical program?
This is different. Your doctor has to certify your inability to do two of the basic activities of daily living, not being able to dress yourself or bathe yourself or use the toilet unassisted or feed yourself. Those are some of the basic activities. That triggers the use of the policy. The best ones pay you, so you can pay anyone to provide that care. Other policies, older ones, may say you have to work through a nursing agency. But you need, the new policies are very flexible. And the odds are, I hope the odds are, you're not going to need that kind of care for more than a year or so. But if you do, you don't want to use up all the family resources. Yes, the what they call the community spouse can maintain the home and some basic income, Social Security, her own, if it's your spouse that's in there. But basically, families, just ask any family that's gone through this. You spend down your money very quickly with even not round-the-clock care, but halftime care, daytime care, or even nighttime care for someone you love. And I say this, by the way, to not just older people who are thinking about it happening to them, but to children, adult children, mm-hmm. because either you're going to have your mother-in-law in your guest bedroom just when your kid goes off to college, you know, and you thought you'd be alone, or you might make some provisions that allow her to remain at home and get, you know, maybe you only need someone to come in once a day for a couple of hours. That's how you typically start. But that's the kind of flexibility you get with a long-term care insurance policy. I know I sound like a salesman, but I believe this. I saw it work for my dad. My mother passed away without actually using the policy. I paid for both their policies. But it really made a difference. My dad stayed in his home, which I had reverse mortgage for him, and he stayed there until the week before he passed away.
Terry Savage, what else do you want to say?
Let's just take a little bit of a setup of what's going on in the market, because we'll have some news in about a half hour or a little more. We had news about inflation in Europe and England, especially this morning. So there's bad news for Europe, and if the banks there have to raise rates, that could put more pressure on the economies of the world, and a recession is possible. The Fed is not only starting to raise rates, but it's starting to suck that money out of the economy that it had been putting in there, newly created liquidity over the last 2 years. So think of it as a vacuum cleaner being turned on. That'll happen in a few weeks. And in just a little over a half hour, we'll get a look at the minutes of the last Fed meeting, where we see what their deliberations were when they raised the interest rate 75 basis points. It's not going to be so much of a surprise. Everybody knows, and a lot of Fed governors have been out talking up the fact that, no, they don't think they've got inflation tamed yet. And yes, they're probably going to raise rates more in September, although we'll have another CPI before that. And so, but the market hangs on every little word. The markets have been rising on the belief that the Fed will get this under control. It's already happening. Energy prices are down. Nothing to worry about. They'll probably even be cutting rates next year. That's the theory, the story that's had market had the market rallying. Today, people are going, maybe not so much. And that's why we see the Dow down 200 points. And then we have on the sidelines, by the way, a little, just note the headlines. Don't do this. Don't do this at home. Don't do this in your office. But those meme stocks are tearing around like Bed Bath & Beyond. It's like people got the itch. They were bored in the last 2 weeks of summer, traditionally a slow time in the markets. And all of a sudden, all those traders that thought they could beat the market are at it again with meme stocks. And another crypto fail today. That story isn't open. I've always said to you that I think crypto will have a place. Blockchain will revolutionize finance. But I always knew that some people were going to get caught in the crunch. I just didn't know the crunch and the bankruptcies would be this big. The latest one today is Genesis, which is another one of those lenders and crypto trading desks. So it's the bad news is not out about crypto. That's the update on what's going on out there. Down 200 points just because maybe the Fed will look tougher in its minutes than anybody anticipates.
Plus, we've had a nice run. Maybe I wouldn't call it a correction, but I mean, a little setback is kind of due anyway, right?
Yeah, well, favorite party game. Is this the end of a rally in a bear market? Or is this the end of the new bull market? And, you know, you could get opinions on either side of those questions. I have no idea. I'm positioned correctly. I mean, I feel I'm comfortable, and I haven't done anything in a long, long time to change my approach to the market. And if you were set up correctly over the last 2 years, you shouldn't be doing that either.
Well, you and I must go to different parties. All the parties I go to, we don't play the game where you guess if it's a bear or bull market.
You don't.
We talk about our kids and TV shows we're watching, and we have cocktails. Okay, let's pick up the phone lines.
Well, invite me.
312-981-7200. Vic, you go first. What's your question for Terry Savage?
Thank you. Very honored and privileged to talk to Terry. I have a comment. John and Terry is, John, I'm your age. There's two things that scare me to death. Yeah. Mr. Wrong knocking on my daughter's door and the cost of health care as I get older. Yeah. Those are the only two things that scare the living daylights on me. But so, Terry, here's my question. You know, typical 62-year-old heir, we got a very nice, comfortable 401k IRA, you know, $750,000. From what I understand, we're going to be losing roughly $90,000 this year. My question is, I got to believe a lot of people might be wondering the same thing. Is there anything mopes like us can do to mitigate that after, I don't know, 3 months? or you just ride the storm and you take your losses, you take your gains.
I want to be clear before Terry answers that. You're saying that the value of your 401k, the value of your 401k is down 90K?
Yes.
All right, Terry, go ahead.
Well, welcome to the club. From the peaks, many stocks are, especially tech stocks, are still down a lot. And even though the S&P 500 has come, I thought you were going to dispute the age, John. I have no idea how old you are. I was sure that's where you were going, but I'll let that pass. So everybody's down. I mean, I just don't know anybody walking around anymore saying, I feel so good about my 401k. But the fact of the matter is, the things you can do to deal with your greatest worry, which is the cost of everything, but especially healthcare and retirement, are among the things you can do. Number one, work longer. I wrote that in a book called The Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire? And that's almost 20 years old. And what I said was the traditional concept of retirement at age 65, and then everybody was thinking that, and people were even thinking, I'll retire early, like at 50 or 55. That's history. Don't focus your retirement planning on the fact that you'll stop at 65 or even your full retirement age for Social Security at 67. You have to plan to work longer, and you have to plan to save more. And on top of that, you have to think about deferring your Social Security until 70. By the time you retire, they might even let you defer it longer, because that builds a bigger base for future inflation adjustments. I won't get into that argument. I just firmly believe that. And if you're in the position where you can have a health savings account for your insurance at work, you want to contribute the maximum you can to that. No, everybody's worried about the same things, Vic. And you know what? People were worrying about them 20 years ago, and they're living happily in retirement now, and some are still worried. Do what you can. Let your money grow as long as you can, work as long as you can, and save as much as you can, and that's all you can do. Then enjoy every day that you have good health.
It's a good question. It's a good answer. And by the way, if your $750,000 401k is only down 8%, you could be doing worse than that right now. I like your chances. Terry, lots more calls. You ready to go, or shall we?
Yeah. And I was just checking my emails in the break. A bunch of people said, what's the number you call for long-term care insurance? Please just go to terrysavage.com on the left side under columns, second most recent column, long-term care insurance. Read down to the bottom of it, and you've got the names and numbers of who to call that I know you can get the right help from. Okay?
And is that legal advice on it, or is that somebody will actually be selling me the product?
This MAGA Associates, Murray A. Gordon and Associates, Brian Gordon, has been my source for all the numbers I use for all my columns forever, and my purchases myself. And Phil Shelton is another great long-term care expert. And these are people you can trust, not just to sell you the product, but to understand what your situation is and decide what is the most useful way for you to fund your long-term care needs. And I will tell you that there are times when they will say, you know, I don't think you can afford this, but there are some really interesting ideas. I'm going to just give you one going back to long-term care. So now you're 55 or 60, and you're, let's say you're a woman alone. You bought life insurance a long time ago. I don't know why you bought it, but you bought it. You're not so much concerned about who gets what after you're gone. You're really concerned about how you're going to pay if you need long-term care. If there's been cash value built up in your life insurance, you can use that value and exchange it into one of these combo life long-term care policies, paying for most or all of the coverage. It just gets the long-term care insurance rider. So you need, it's just not just about going online and clicking a button and buying long-term care insurance. You need some guidance, and that's why it's important to deal with people you can trust.
Remember, we podcast these shows afterwards. Terry spoke at length and well about all of this in the beginning of the program. At the end of the show today, later this afternoon, go to WGNradio.com and you can click on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and there'll be a podcast of what you heard today. You can listen to it again. Let's talk to Rose. You're on WGN. Rose, how can we help you?
Hi, John. Hi, Terry. How you doing?
Good.
My question is with Social Security. So when I retired at the full age, I started taking my Social Security. And my husband was, at that particular time, able to take half of mine as his benefit. So the reason he did that was because he was going to wait until he was 70, which just happened, and now he's collecting his full age 70 benefit. So my question is, am I entitled to half of that benefit now, his benefit, because it is more than double of what I am receiving monthly benefit.
Rose, if I had paid you to ask this question, you couldn't have asked a more perfect question. Because I spent this morning writing an answer to a similar question. And I want to tell you that I never give specifics because I know how complex this is, about a woman whose husband then passed away and Social Security told her, no, she wasn't entitled to anything from his benefit because her benefit was too low because she started. So I went to economist Larry Kotlikoff, Boston University, the author of a book I talked about many times called Money Magic, and had his team, he created a software. Because I have a quote from him in this column I just sent to my editor saying basically that Social Security almost always gets it wrong. For $40 at maximizemysocialsecurity.com, you can get the correct answer and help from his experts. And I want you to go there, maximizemysocialsecurity.com. The bottom line of my column, and let me just pull up the exact amount because it's still sitting here on my computer that I just sent in, is that if this woman hadn't called me and then I sent her, connected her with Larry Kotlikoff, she would have missed out on $268,003 in benefits by the time she was age 90. So this is, I don't have these answers at the tip of my tongue, but I know there is a correct answer, and I know you're not likely to get it by calling Social Security. So
now,
go to Maximize. You can't get through, and they don't know when you. This woman had made three calls, and they got it wrong the first two times, and they gave her ammunition to say, well, what about this? And so someone said something else, and then she called back, and they had set up appointments weeks in advance. So it's an ongoing problem. You need to go to maximizemysocialsecurity.com, and in the next week or so, that column will be posted. Anybody who has either a complex situation, particularly married couples trying to maximize benefits for the long run, needs to go do that and figure out the best time to start taking for each one of you and what happens after the death of the first.
Okay.
I spent my whole morning thinking about this, and I wouldn't even begin to give you a specific answer. I'm humbled by how much I cannot figure out about these complex situations.
Okay, we will look into it.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Rose.
It costs $40. Believe me, it's $40. It's worth it.
And the bottom line is, I mean, Terry always says, if you can afford to, if you need Social Security to buy bread, then too bad for you. I don't mean that in a callous way. That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that, but you should wait as long as you possibly can.
Right. But let me just interrupt you, John. This is one of those very complex situations where a decision gets made now about her benefits, and everybody at Social Security is uninformed is the polite word. Well, I don't want to find a quote from him, but I want to give you this quote because here's a man who's a famed economist who is willing to say this quote. Here's a quote from Kotlikoff. At least half of what Social Security tells you is either dead wrong, misleading, or incomplete. My rule is never ask Social Security anything. Just tell them precisely what to do. Okay? And you will know what to do if you go through this software triage.
Jim, you're on WGM with Terry Savage. How can we help you, Jim? You're on the air.
Sure. All right, Terry and John. I have a question here. A lot of these retirement communities now are saying, well, you should get one that has life care. And, of course, in brief, you would go in maybe as independent living, and as your health gets worse, you might have assisted living and then medical care and skilled nursing. And as you go into these steps, you have advantage of coming in and having a rate that is pretty reasonable, of course, with escalation, medical and everything. So what are the pros and cons, and what do you think of this, Terry?
Jim, I don't know what's going on out there in the universe today, but I started researching that very question this morning for an upcoming column. And I know a few things, but you're going to have to wait another couple of weeks until I write that and can speak consistently. Here's a couple of things you want to find out about. Some of these places say, and yes, if you want to leave or after your death, that deposit will be returned as soon as the apartment or the place is filled. And what I'm learning is that some places, there's not like a trust fund or an FDIC insurance pool that says to you, yeah, Jim, you put $240,000 down from the sale of your house to get this. And once you die, let's assume you're going in there alone, you or your spouse are both gone, your heirs will get the money back. Probably not with interest. But the fact is, you're not guaranteed to get the money back. That's the first thing I've learned, and I'm really looking into that aspect. Second of all, the things you have to look at, and these are all things that I'm going to write in this column when I figure out the way to approach this, is, yes, you're guaranteed access at a better rate than the costs of would be if someone coming in from the outside. But that may not tell you how much there's a limit on how much either your rent in the apartment, the independent living apartment you choose is, or how much costs go up in the assisted living or the memory care or whatever other unit. So it doesn't, moving into one, so far my conclusion is you have to watch out for the details in the contract. I will list all those details when I get them sorted out. And you don't assume that your kids are going to get all the money back and or what it's worth by the time they get it back, because many of them are financing their ongoing improvements to the facilities, the new gym, the new whatever it is, card room, the decorations or the hallways, with the money that new people pay coming in. And then when the 5, 7, 14, 21 years from now, when you move out, the amount your heirs get back might not be what they expect, number one. And number two, new people moving in may be charged even more. So I haven't got this all laid out, but keeps tuned in, because it'll be in a week or two. I'll get that posted and I'll give you the answer.
You paid those people to call today, right?
It's the weirdest thing. I'm just wondering what's going on in the universe for Social Security. And then this is really amazing.
It's a good show today, Terry. Remember, we'll make a podcast out of this. You can hear everything you just heard or may have missed at WGNradio.com. Click on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll post it as a podcast. And TerrySavage.com for the links to all of those numbers and references. Okay, Terry, next week, let's do it
again. Thanks, John. Next week.
12:46 on WGN. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A plan to turn an old Sears store on Chicago's northwest side into housing and retail shops has gotten the green light from city planners. Developers want to convert the six-corner Sears building into more than 200 residences and 50,000 square feet of street-level retail space. The Chicago Planning Commission is expected to approve zoning changes for the project at its meeting next week. A senior housing development is currently under construction across the street at Irving Park in Milwaukee. Vegan mozzarella is coming to pizzerias in the Midwest, and you can thank Illinois-based food giant Archer Daniels Midland. The company is working with startup New Culture to launch the animal-free mozzarella in the U.S. market, starting with Midwest pizzerias next year. Bloomberg reports the new vegan mozzarella is similar in price to animal-based cheese, but more sustainable. It's said to have a consistency and flavor similar to regular mozzarella. The American dairy market is $70 billion, with about 30% coming from cheese. ADM and New Culture are hoping for a slice of that. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The business of food, and Steve Alexander.
Mm-hmm, and we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Today's business of food is about the most basic food there is, breast milk.
Yeah, it's the first food and the best food, and really, breast milk feeding provides the most advanced nutrition for babies.
That is Courtney Sensenig.
I am a certified childbirth educator and a lactation consultant at Advocate Condell Medical Center in Libertyville, Illinois.
World Breastfeeding Week was earlier this month, but Courtney and her colleagues celebrate it every week because
it has significant immune-boosting properties for the baby.
And it's good for mom, too.
It reduces the mother's risk for breast and uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, and it also releases hormones that can actually help decrease the mother's risk of postpartum depression.
But as natural as it is, it often doesn't happen naturally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Women, when they go through childbirth, it's one of the most physically intense things they will ever do probably in their life. And they come into their first feeding right after the birth, often tired and not knowing exactly what to expect.
And that's where the lactation consultants come in, who are
typically nurses that are specialized in training with infant feeding. We work with mothers and babies place right after the birth and following throughout the whole time that women can be providing breast milk for their babies.
And is there one issue or concern that's most common?
Mm-hmm. It's just the concern that their body is not going to provide enough breast milk for their baby. And so that's why we really want women to reach out to lactation consultants so that we can really help them provide whatever amount of breast milk they're able to produce and give to their baby.
Advocate Condell's lactation consultant program has been internationally honored, and there is also a mother's support group called Look What We Can Do that's been going on for over 20 years. Still, it's not mandatory, and some moms just don't want to breastfeed.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk about learning, you know, the process of cessation of breast milk, and we also give her the ability to call the lactation line if she has any issues during that process of decreasing her milk supply, and also if she changes her mind, we're going to be there for her, too.
Courtney Sensenig from Advocate Condell. From the dairy farm to your belly, today is National Vanilla Custard Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Amanda Barnes is on a phone line right now, and she's celebrating an anniversary this whole month, right, Amanda? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, it is our 48th anniversary at Pippin's, and we are super excited.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit about Pippin's. You are the chef at Pippin's Tavern. Where is it? What is it? What's the menu?
So we're located at 39 East Chicago, the corner of Chicago and Wabash. We've relocated from our old address on Rush Street, and we now have really great event space, an amazing bar, and the food itself is rooted in Midwestern traditions. We use local products and a scratch kitchen, and we use fermentation techniques and preservation techniques to sort of stretch that notoriously short Chicago summer growing season. So yeah, we're excited about it.
I want to just read this. Pippin's Tavern is open Wednesday through Friday from 11 to 2, Saturday 11 to 3, Sunday 11 to 10. Pippin's prides itself on curating a diverse selection of selection with the perfect pour to inspire community and conversation. The happy hour special. When is the happy hour special? Is that on Wednesdays through Fridays from 4 to 6?
Yes, Wednesday through Friday, 4 to 6. Right now for the month of August, we have 48-cent oysters to celebrate the 48th. And then we have, we worked with Spiteful Brewing, and we have the Pippin's Gold beer that we're selling for 48 cents as well. And then a Pippin's 75 cocktail, we made a rhubarb liqueur, and we're selling that with topped off with champagne for $4.80. So those are our specials that we're running for the entire month of August. In addition to which, on Saturdays and Sundays, we serve brunch starting at 11 a.m. to 3 on both days, and we apply the same sort of food techniques and kitchen techniques to brunch as we do to the dinner menu and the lunch menu.
Okay. I don't think you and I are hearing each other back and forth. Do you hear me now okay, Amanda?
I do hear you now.
Ah, good. Okay. Well, that sounds like a great special. It's a great location, and I think people are going to love the prices on all of that. Thanks for checking in, and good luck to you on the anniversary.
Thank you so much for having us. Have a good day.